So my name is José Bové. Listen to health writers if you are concerned about the health of the body politic.
Good evening, and welcome to Health Writers. My name is Chris Lang. We do have a show. We're talking about measles, and the recent outbreak of measles, which is a highly contagious viral disease, has been picking up steam due in part to the anti-vaccination trend that has been sort of burning for about 10 years, despite the fact that anti-vaccination studies have been debunked. Essentially, in terms of their link to autism, et cetera. And we talked to Dr. Nasia Safdar at UW Hospital, and that interview was recorded earlier this week.
Measles was effectively wiped out in the sense
Correct.
That it cannot begin here.
Right.
And so just as of last year, in December, there was an outbreak of measles at Disneyland
right.
in California,
mm-hmm.
and that's caused some concern that it's coming back.
Right. Correct? I think that, you know, anytime something is vaccine preventable and it's been eradicated, when it comes back, there's always concerns because oftentimes people have forgotten what the illness used to be like. You know, many years went by, nobody saw measles for a long time. So even though sometimes people will say, well, it's really just a fever and a rash and, you know, what's the big deal? I'll recover from it. It's not so much measles itself, but the complications of measles that are the concern. So children under the age of one, if they get measles, they'll get ear infections, pneumonias, often central nervous system issues like meningitis. And, you know, the younger you are, the more immunocompromised you are. You get a very severe form of measles. So even though in the vast majority it may still be a fever and rash, for something that's preventable to not be prevented, I think is just a shame.
Who are the most risky measles recipients?
I mean, ultimately the riskiest group is the one that cannot get the MMR vaccine. And so, you know, that's kids under the age of 12 months, just because they wouldn't have the antibody response that you need to get to the vaccine. And then anybody who has a damaged or compromised immune system, they would not be able to get the MMR vaccine either. And you can't very well, you know, protect yourself in any other way, so you have to not be around someone then who either has the measles or could be incubating the measles, and obviously we don't know who those people are. So the best way to protect the community is for everybody to get vaccinated who can be vaccinated.
Because it's very contagious. I mean, the measles virus can live outside of the body for a couple hours.
Right, it's airborne, so there's these little droplets that go in the air, so anybody breathing the same air will get measles. That's why it's so contagious. So it's more contagious than tuberculosis that, you know, often worries people more than measles does. But 90% of the time, if somebody gets measles, the people around them will also get it if they have not been vaccinated.
So it's a concern because it can lead to death in infants
right.
and maybe people with other medical conditions. Are there exacerbating medical conditions that can sort of enhance effects?
Well, I mean, there are those that, you know, depending upon the degree of immune compromise, so somebody who's had a transplant or who has a hematologic malignancy like leukemia or lymphoma, those are people where the immune system is essentially, you know, non-existent, at least for a good portion of the time while they're on treatment or they're trying to recover from it. And so for them to have already very little reserve and then to get any sort of infection on top of it just decimates things quite badly.
I read an interesting fact that people born before 1957 are automatically immune to it because they would catch measles and
right.
they would just build up their own natural immunity, correct?
They would already have been exposed to it, yeah.
So what happened after 1957?
Well, I think the cases of measles started to go down. You know, the vaccine became available in 1963. And so as people started to vaccinate, then the likelihood that everybody would get measles became low. And when you cannot assume that everybody got it, then you have to, you know, say that it could still be possible that you could get it.
I should clarify that even though it was considered wiped out in 2000, it was in the U.S. only. And around
right.
the world, there are like 20,000 cases a year. it's only been considered wiped out here. So right. There's still a risk of people traveling to our country, maybe that are contagious, and that's right. The importance of the vaccination. Right.
I think there's at least a couple of reasons, you know, why it's still of concern. Well, one is that, as you said, it wasn't eliminated worldwide. You know, it wasn't smallpox, so there's still many countries where kids will get measles. And global travel has become, you know, so you can go from one end to the other end in just a matter of hours now. So the way travel is, it's very difficult to protect yourself from what's happening around you other than potentially getting vaccinated by it.
So I know there's a lot of fear surrounding the Ebola virus. Can you compare the level of contagion between the two, just to put it in perspective?
So, I mean, there's a lot of differences between measles and Ebola. Yeah, so Ebola is transmitted by blood and body fluids, so very different than measles, which is transmitted through the air. So it's not as contagious from that standpoint. I think the reason that Ebola strikes fear is, one is that we've never really seen, and hopefully never will see, an outbreak of Ebola in the United States. So there's very little knowledge. There's a lot of uncertainty. You hear all the deaths that are happening in West Africa, and you wonder, you know, if it comes here, will it be like that here as well? And then the other thing is that the death rate from Ebola is extremely high because there's no effective treatment. Now, there's no effective treatment for measles either. It's largely supportive and people recover from it. But the death rate from measles is not as high as the death rate from Ebola.
The fact that we have vaccinations and to eliminate it in the U.S. and then essentially we stop vaccinating our kids, then we could be more susceptible to it because we haven't developed any of that natural immunity.
Well, I think you're really back at square one then. And it would be a shame if that were to happen, because this is truly one of the great successes of public health programs, is that for many years, measles was not found in this country.
Are there any other infectious diseases that are coming back in addition to measles?
Well, pertussis has come back in a big way. You know, whooping cough has been a concern. And again, it's the same vulnerable group. It's kids under the age of 12 months that can't get the vaccine, healthcare workers because they see children or adults with pertussis. So those are the big ones. And then there have been many outbreaks of mumps, especially in college-age students on campuses nationwide. So a few of these have come back. And, you know, there's probably other circumstances as well why they've come back. But a big reason is that there is these gaps in vaccination coverage, which then is not sufficient to protect the community.
You mentioned mumps, and I remember MMR. That was so there's measles, mumps, and rubella.
So rubella is German measles, you know, just a milder form of measles. And mumps is the condition where you get swelling of the salivary glands on both sides of your face and high fever and a respiratory illness. They're similar in the sense that they're all viruses, but the transmission is different. So mumps is by droplet. You know, if you're not in close contact with somebody who has mumps, you won't get it. Measles is obviously, as we've talked about, very different. But they're all viruses that don't have specific antiviral treatment. So most of the time people will recover. But again, you know, all of these things have complications. So for mumps, an uncommon but potentially severe complication is that men can get sterile and infertile with these complications of mumps. So it's infrequent, but when it happens, it's quite devastating.
The concern with measles, obviously, is the highly contagious nature of it.
Right.
And the fact that it's somewhere between 1 in 3 out of 1,000 kids can die from it.
Right, yeah. And, you know, some of it also depends upon how severe it is. So once it arrives in a household, it usually spreads like wildfire. And then, you know, although, like I said, most people will recover, it takes a toll on you. So your reserve of immunity then goes down. So you become more vulnerable to pneumonias, to diarrhea, to ear infections. And that's how kids die.
During the time that you're
after,
infected? Or for
after.
Ever?
No, just for a while after.
For a while. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do we do about it? I mean, obviously, if we've been vaccinated, there's no concern.
If you've been vaccinated against measles, I would say yes, there's no concern.
Or unless you have a child that's under 12 months who cannot get the vaccine.
Right.
So what are the people who may not have gotten their kids vaccinated yet? Mm-hmm. What would you, what's the advice for?
Well, I mean, if you can get the MMR vaccine, then one absolutely should. I know that people have concerns about, you know, what are the side effects of the vaccine and is it safe and is it effective and so on. And we hear these concerns from time to time about other vaccines as well, like influenza vaccine. And so, for example, for the flu season this year, the vaccine was not, you know, a great match. It was a reasonable match, but it wasn't a great match to the strains that were circulating. But measles vaccine is not like that. If you get one dose of the measles vaccine, 95% of people will be protected from measles. And if you get two doses, 99% will be protected. So it's hard to beat that sort of effectiveness, you know, from a vaccine. And all the studies, you know, there was only really the one.
The one in 1988 or something.
Right, a long time ago in The Lancet that tried to link the measles vaccine to autism in kids. And, you know, I think it's tempting. Autism is a devastating condition. We're all searching for answers. If we could find the answers in the vaccination story, well, that would at least put that to rest. But the truth is that study was completely fabricated. I mean, the data wasn't real. It never actually occurred. So that's been completely discredited. And there's really no link between measles vaccine and autism.
So some people may choose not to get vaccinated due to maybe the misinformation they've gotten. Some due to religious belief.
Right.
And 48 states allow religious exemption. And 19 states allow just personal exemptions. What do you think about that? Do you think it should be mandated?
Well, I can speak to it from the infectious diseases viewpoint. You know, any time that there is a potential preventive option, that's always preferred to then chasing it after the outbreak has already occurred. My own opinion is that there should not be such a thing as a personal exemption or a philosophical exemption. Certainly not for, absolutely not, I think, for people that might pose harm to others, such as healthcare workers, for example. If they don't get vaccinated against the MMR, they should really not be in healthcare. So I hear what people say about their, you know, their right to choose for themselves what sort of vaccine they get. But my own opinion on that is that for a vaccine preventable disease to really work, everybody has to get it, that can get it.
Dr. Nasya Safdar, Medical Director of Infectious Control at UW Hospital and Clinics. And we're talking about measles and vaccines to some extent because they kind of go hand in hand. So let's talk about vaccinations, how they work, and if there are any other reasons that people, you know, are reluctant to.
So the way the most vaccines work is that you either deliver a part of the virus that or the bacteria that you're testing the vaccine against, or you give an attenuated version of the virus, which has been you know, disabled enough to the point that it can't really make you sick, but it still prompts your body into making the antibodies that it needs to make in order to fight the infection. For measles, it's the live virus, which is why somebody where the immune system is compromised cannot get it. But a live virus is given to the individual, and the body then thinks, well, there's a measles virus coming, so I should immediately start to produce antibodies. Those antibodies are produced, and then they lie largely dormant until such time as one gets exposed to measles, and then those antibodies immediately rev up and become activated, and the individual doesn't get the actual infection. I think that sometimes people feel, you know, aside from the concerns about vaccination, sometimes people feel that just getting the natural disease produces more immunity than the vaccine does. And that's true. If you get natural measles, your immune response to that is much stronger than you could get from any vaccine. But that's not a good reason to get measles and become immune against it, just because you don't know whether you will be the group that will become immune against it or whether you will be in the group that will succumb to it. But that, I think, is one of the reasons why people think, well, maybe I'll just let my child get these conditions and they'll recover from them and then they'll never get them again. Vaccination is a better way to handle it in this day and age. It may be, you know, 30, 40 years ago that was the only option. But I think it's a shame that we have all these advances in vaccine technology. It's probably more safe now than it has been in years, and yet we still struggle to convince ourselves of its use.
So you're essentially replicating the immune system boost. But at the same time, we're sort of inundated with antibacterial soap. We're killing everything, right? And so is that having an effect on our immune system other than just measles?
Well, I think it's hard to say. There's a lot of stuff in antibacterial soaps, and, you know, triclosan is one antiseptic that's widely used. And there are concerns that eventually things will get resistant to it, such as bacteria, for example. I don't think people have looked at whether viruses will get resistant to it, but certainly bacteria can and do. And that's why the FDA recently came out with a statement saying that, you know, there's no reason for normal goods of daily life to have triclosan or any other antimicrobials impregnated in them. Also, sometimes people think, you know, just because something has an antibacterial in it, it doesn't mean that in the setting in which you're using it, it will work as well as it does in the lab. So if it's in clothing and you're sweating or bleeding or there's other body fluids, many of those things just lose all activity then. So it's really not worth it to spend the extra money on things like that.
If I'm a parent and I have a 6-year-old who hasn't been vaccinated and I change my mind and want to get vaccinated, is there any side effects or any problems with doing it at a later age, at doing it when you're an adult?
Oh, there's absolutely no problem with doing it at a later age. And in fact, you know, they recommend the first dose at 12 months and then the second dose at 4 to 6 years when kids start going to kindergarten. But really, you can get the two measles vaccine as long as they're separated by 28 days. So if somebody wants an accelerated cycle, you know, for convenience or whatever, that's perfectly acceptable. And it will give you the same amount of protection that the separated ones would. So adults will generally need a single dose of the MMR vaccine unless they're in a high-risk group. So if they're healthcare workers, then they'll need two. If they're around kids, if there's an outbreak happening, or if they're international travelers, that group should get two. And the reason for two really is that, you know, the one dose will give you 95% protection, but if you're a high-risk group, you don't want to take any chances, so then you get the other dose, and that'll boost you up to 99.
Are there side effects to getting the vaccination?
You know, with any vaccination, it's things like fever and a sore arm and things like that. There's a very small percentage of people that will have true reactions to the measles vaccine, but it's very, very tiny. And, you know, if you have an allergic reaction to any vaccine, then you discuss it with your provider to see if you can get it. But things like egg allergy, for example, that people used to think, well, I cannot get the MMR vaccine, that's no longer true. People can get the MMR vaccine even with an egg allergy.
With all the preponderance of information essentially debunking the autism link, well, how do we go forward? Because not everyone's going to get vaccinated. There are pockets of populations, like in the Bronx, Orthodox Jews who don't get vaccinated, and there's been outbreaks there. But also wealthy, liberal cities, such as we're living in Madison,
right,
who maybe are more educated in some ways and get a lot of this information. What do we do going forward, I guess?
I think that, you know, this is a larger question than probably an infection control individual can answer. But I think from the community standpoint, there's this ongoing tussle between the rights of the individual and the rights of society as a whole. And measles is right in the center, as are many other vaccine-preventable conditions. So for something where, for most infections, you know, in general, the greater good prevails. So for anything that we do, if I'm prescribing antibiotics to someone and I don't feel that they're really necessary or indicated, the greater good would prevail there. And I would say, you know, I would like to be able to help you, but antibiotics are not likely to help in this instance, and they will hurt the larger community because of promoting resistance. So the same thing is also true for vaccination. But the reality is, I mean, it's not like we can mandate it at any point in time, especially not, you know, right at this point. So the best you can do is provide people with the tools to make a rational decision. The issue is that the internet is flooded with false information, and depending upon where you look, you know, you can find something that will support your point of view.